Welcome to The Plant Pod, Grow Your Mind, Feed Your Soul. I'm your host, Carly Bodrug, and the girl behind the popular plant-based food blog, Plant You. I'm really excited for today's episode because we're going to be delving into the power of manifestation. If you've never heard of manifestation before, it's essentially the practice of thinking aspirational thoughts with the intention of shaping them into your reality. For example, visualizing and believing good things are going to happen for you, maybe a dream job, a dream house, and then harnessing those positive thoughts to actually make them come true. For this episode, I was super fortunate to sit down with the amazing Payal Corley, who's the founder of Affirmation Addict and the app Affirmit. She's been using the power of manifestation since she was 12, and after quitting her corporate dream job, she's made it her mission to help people understand the power they carry within them daily. Her goal is to make affirmations accessible and understandable for the masses because everyone deserves to feel empowered and realize that they can create their own reality. I've got to tell you guys, I have been feeling a little bit down lately, just fatigued with everything going on in the world. I think in Ontario, Canada, we have been in some form of a lockdown for a year this week, which if you really start to think about can drive you into some negative thought patterns. And after my interview with Payal, I just left it feeling so light, so motivated and hopeful for the future. And I'm really hoping it can have the same impact on you. I've been personally using the power of manifestation, whether consciously or not, for the last few years of my career. And honestly, I think it is a game changer for your success. With Payal, I was able to delve into some of the criticism towards manifestation as a practice. So if you're thinking this is all a bit woo-woo, I still encourage you to listen. As well, we talk about how someone who has never tried to harness the power of manifestation can start with some really practical and actionable tips. Before we dig in, I also just want to say a really heartfelt thank you for all of your support of the launch of this podcast. It has been crazy to see, and I am just so filled with gratitude. So thank you to everyone who has listened, who has shared, who has inboxed me. I appreciate it more than I can ever put into words. If you do take something valuable from this episode, I encourage you to take a screenshot, share it in your stories, and make sure to tag me at Plant You and Payal at Affirmation Addict so that we can share the love. And of course, if you do enjoy this podcast, a 5-star review is gold in the podcast world, and I would appreciate it immensely. Thank you for your support. Without further ado, I am super excited to welcome Payal of Affirmation Addict to the show. Welcome, Payal.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with all of you. Thank you, Carly, for having me.
So you have this incredible, inspiring Instagram page. You have this massive following and app. I want to know how you got into manifestation and how this whole journey started.
Yeah, so my journey started, I'm 25 right now. My journey started when I was just 12 years old. My mom was really kind of exploring her own spirituality, and she came across the movie The Secret. That's kind of, I feel like, so many people's step into the world of law of attraction, manifestation. And she literally, I got home from school. I remember I was like ready to eat my snacks. And mom was like, hey, we have a movie we need to watch. We're all watching it as a family. No questions asked. Like, she sat us all down and made us watch it. And I was so excited, especially I was like 12. So I had much less resistance. I was like, whoa, this is like magic. And so that night I made my first vision board because magazines were still like a normal thing back then. So it was much easier than it is now. And that's truly how it started. I started manifesting really little things, and it was more so just the awareness that I could do something. So as a 12-year-old, I don't have the biggest aspiration. So my manifestations were like, oh, a day off at school or a brownie. Like, those were the types of things that would really make me realize, like, this is actually real. And growing up all the way through college, actually, I would practice manifestation and affirmations for really every area of my life. I'm sure we'll get into that soon. But it was really hard, I guess, learning it at such a young age because so much of like my childhood in a way was with that lens, and like talking to friends about it, like they were like, what are you talking about? Like my like middle school and high school years, like I never talked about it. Like it was something that was so private, and now being able to share about it publicly is like so fulfilling because I think it's like my inner child needed to share it. And so that's really how it started. I started manifesting little things, and they became really bigger and bigger until it came down for me. I thought I manifested my dream job at a consulting firm. It was everything I wanted out of college. And then I hated it. Like, I was like, uh-oh, like, what do you do now? Like, I hated my corporate job that I thought I wanted so bad. So then it started to kind of be my crutch. Like, affirmations were my only release. And then I got an idea to make an app. And so I kind of went for it with no proof of concept and started an Instagram page and then quit my job 2 months later with still no income. But it was much more exciting to me than having a job that I hated. So I kind of played this little game with myself. I gave myself a year because I could live off my savings for that year. And I know I was very blessed to be able to do that. And so I gave myself that experiment, and Affirmation Addict grew really well, and the app finally came in. So that's kind of how I got from where I was to where I am today. And now it's kind of all I do is share about it. And it makes me so excited.
What an incredible story. Okay, so walk us through this. You're 12 years old. You've just watched The Secret. How was 12-year-old you manifesting? Like, what does that look like?
Okay, 12-year-old manifesting is seriously what, honestly, looking back at it, is what I try and remind people to do today. Because as an adult, we're so calculated, and it's like, okay, I need to do A, B, and C, and that's the only way it's going to manifest. Like, we're so structured as adults. And like, as a kid, it was just like a magic wand. Like, honestly, it was so like, I can do anything. And it was so empowering. So I would play games. Like, it was like literally a way to entertain myself. Like, I was like, okay, if the universe is on my side, I'm going to get a brownie today. Like, the most random things that don't happen usually. It was just playing games with myself for things you want as a 12-year-old, like having like a friend sleep over for the night. Like, my best friends lived like an hour away, and we would always try and see each other. So things like that was like, it was really more so just like, I call it setting an intention or just thinking the thought, and it's like, can it happen? And like, so many times it did happen, where it just gave me this confidence that your thoughts are so powerful. And that's kind of where Affirmation Addict comes in, because it was like, I learned, I guess, in my own experience, that your thoughts are the root of all. And so if I can think better thoughts than I usually do, or have better conversations, then, and that makes an effect on my life, then that is so exciting. And I learned it through like my physical life, my physical body, which I think will be really fun to talk about. And also just like my mental health. Like, I was not as, like, I got bullied. I think we all get bullied in some way, but I was like able to process it, not on my own. My mom really helped me, but like, she was like, say affirmations, like, I am beautiful, or I'm not hairy. As an Indian girl, I got made fun of so much for being so hairy when I was little, and that really got to me. And so using that throughout high school and middle school and even college to get through it was so, it was so supportive, and it was something I was doing on my own, which was really empowering too.
I think we need to kind of back up and just talk to our listeners about, what is manifestation, and what are affirmations, and how can you use both tools to create your dream life?
Love it. Yes. So manifestation, I like to explain it as, manifestation is just something coming into your physical world, like something just showing up in your life, whether that's you're doing it on purpose, like you're saying the affirmations, you're making the vision boards, or I tell people, and I know it's kind of overwhelming, but like, I like to think of it as, manifestation is something we're always doing, whether it's on purpose or not. Like, you're still always, you have that power to affect the world around you through your energy, through the things, the energy you're radiating, vibes, like we all talk about. Like, we all make a difference in that way. And so I like to explain to people, manifestation is just something showing up in your physical world that you've wanted, that's doing it on purpose, and not on purpose is your entire world. Like, me and you having this conversation is a manifestation. Did we both want it? Did we both not want it? That's a different story. But I think everything comes out to be a manifestation. And then affirmations are, once again, I like to say this, and I know it might be confusing, but I say every single thing you're speaking is an affirmation, whether it's on purpose or not. So the purpose of affirmations is saying things that help your subconscious mind really connect to what you want to manifest in your life. So if you want to call in good health, right? A lot of people say, I don't want to get sick. But if you say, I am healthy, that is a much more powerful statement compared to, I don't want to get sick. And this is where the affirmations and the structure of affirmations really comes in, because you're, every single thing you're saying, every single thing you're doing, your subconscious mind is really absorbing it. And so if you say, I don't want to get sick, your subconscious mind, number one, they kind of drop the words like don't, cannot. So those negative connotation words, it doesn't really process. So what your subconscious mind is hearing when you're saying, I don't want to get sick, is I want to get sick. And the second part with affirmations is you don't want to send more energy or put more attention on things you don't want. So sickness is something we don't really want. We want health. So choosing those kind of right words. So that's where affirmations come in, is like picking the words that serve you best. So rather than saying, I don't want to get sick, I want to be healthy, or I don't want to feel hurt, I am like, I am feeling good. So choosing those words to serve you and just the way your mind processes things way better. Because a lot of people, when they start, they're like, well, why is all like my bad stuff manifesting? Like, why is stuff I don't want manifesting? And it's like, because that's the way your mind processes it. It's such a crazy like world of the way your mind works, that that's really what affirmations and manifestation. It's just, to me, leveraging the power of your mind. Like, our brains are so cool, and the neuroplasticity, there's so much cool stuff with it that you can't even understand the surface of it. So manifestation and affirmations are truly just knowing your body, knowing what it's capable of, and using it to your advantage, because we have the power within us. So why not?
So I'm sure you've gotten this before, but some people might look at this and say, that's woo-woo stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
What's your response to that?
Okay, so I would say, firstly, I dealt with this so closely because my brother, one of my best friends in the entire world, he's such a like analytical thinker. He's like, I need facts. Like, this doesn't work. And I'm like, okay, like, I will never force him to try and learn it. And the only time he finally started believing it was when he needed it. So some people, number one, like, it sometimes comes as a last resort, like when you're really sick or like you're dealing with a really terminal illness or something, that becomes people's last resort. And that's what happened to my brother, actually. He was diagnosed with this crazy out of the blue illness, and the doctors told him, you have 2 years, that's it. That's what they told him. One of the scariest but most transformational things our family went through. And honestly, using the power of affirmations, using all of the woo-woo, he literally, the doctors made him like a case study, because they were like, I don't know how you healed, but you did. And so that was how my brother went through that change. And when people don't really like, they're like, this is too much and this is too crazy, I'm like, well, what's the harm in trying it? Like, if you go with an open mind and try it, like, think of it like a game. If this can work for you, why wouldn't you want it? But also, some people aren't, they don't want it because they're not ready for it, in the sense like they're super happy where they are, and that's totally fine. So I like to say, if this doesn't connect to you, don't do it. But if it connects to you, but you just like can't fathom it to be true, are you willing to like get a little uncomfortable and go out of your comfort zone and just try it like a game? Because truly, if this is your baseline, then nothing worse can happen by thinking a positive thought. Like, why not, you know? So that's what I like to tell people, is like, why not try it? Because normally there's some sort of resistance within us, like, oh, it's not fact-based, it's not science-based. Even though there is a ton of science around it, it's just not mainstream yet. And I think that's totally fine. I think it's becoming mainstream, which is awesome. But I really think there's so many approaches to it. And it's like, think about what works for you. Like, if it doesn't work for you, don't do it. Like, no one's forcing you to do it, but don't also like be rude to other people who do it. That's my kind of boundary, is like, do what works for you, but don't push it onto other people in a negative way either.
As someone who's obviously harnessed this for over a decade, what is the biggest thing you have manifested?
Oh my goodness. I want to say my biggest thing I manifested was, I would say my soulmate, Tom, because like he was so opposite of anything I expected. Like, I'm an Indian girl. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to marry an Indian guy. That was my, like, it was just in my head. And I think manifesting him into my life proved me wrong in so many ways that I loved it, because it made me realize like I didn't know everything and I can still learn as a 22-year-old, that I still have room to grow. So I would say that is like one aspect of it. And then the other aspect is like, honestly, this business, like affirmation addict and like really living out my purpose, I think is my biggest thing, because I see it helping people and it's something I've always wanted. Like I grew up knowing I wanted to start my own business. I just didn't know what. I thought it would be in fashion. So I was obviously way off the mark. I thought I'd be making clothes or something. So to me, like the things I manifested that make me so excited are the things that have proved me wrong the most. Like they're so opposite of my plan that I'm like, whoa. And it was way better than I expected.
So if we're talking about manifestation,
yeah,
where is the line? So if I was like, I want to manifest winning $10 million in the lottery mm-hmm. next year on this date. Yeah. I mean, something tells me that's probably not going to happen, but maybe that's hijacking it. So exactly. where is the kind of line of reality, or is there one?
Yeah, that is such a great question. So kind of how I know I went into like your subconscious mind and those beliefs. So that's where manifestation, that's your line. Your line of like what you can manifest is your belief systems. And that's where affirmations come in. So like if your line is, I don't think I can make more than $2,000 a month from my own business, or I don't think I can do that. That like belief in your head is so strong in your subconscious. That's why I keep talking about the subconscious. That's going to be your limit. If you can expand that and say, hey, I'm willing to try and I'm willing to receive $3,000 a month, and I know I can do that, like stepping into that part of your identity. Like none of us associate our identity with winning a $10 million lottery, right? None of us associate that naturally with our identity. But some people, there's been experiments literally on this, which are so cool. They've worked towards making that lottery win part of their identity, that they literally manifested it because they stepped into that version of themselves who can manifest and win that $10 million lottery and get that boost of abundance. But on the flip side, a reason a lot of people, like you'll hear the stories where, oh, they won $10 million, but they lost it all. It's because it wasn't fully part of their identity. So they're literally, their brains and their bodies couldn't keep all that money because it's not natural for them. It literally isn't, like, it isn't part of their belief system, so they can't keep it. So I hope that makes sense. Did that answer your question?
It totally makes sense. It's so interesting.
Yeah.
You talked about a physical aspect of affirmations and identity. Can you kind of delve into that? Because I feel like it's a huge interest point.
Absolutely. So my biggest thing that I've learned, and I love that you share about just health. I know I follow you religiously. Like I love seeing everything you post, and the way you talk about health and taking care of your body, I didn't prioritize it for a long time. And I noticed it, I think when I was like 17, I've been a vegetarian my whole life, not vegan, but a vegetarian my entire life. And when I was 17, they told me I would get like dizzy, and they said I had anemia. And I was like, well, crap, like, what do I do? And that was one of the games I played with myself. I was like, okay, my dad was like, please take your iron pills. Please do this. I was like, Dad, I just want to try. I was like, give me a month. Give me 2 months. Let me just try something. And he looked at me and he just shook his head. He was like, oh God, what is this girl going to do? And I actually started understanding from my body, and I was like, okay, my body isn't able to absorb the iron I'm taking through my vegetables, right? So how can I work with my body and talk to the food? And literally, I know it sounds so crazy, but like food has energy, things have energy. So how can I use that to make my anemia go away? And I have blood tests, right? So I took a blood test. I don't remember what level it was, but it was low. And so I was like, okay, for the next month, every time I eat something, I'm going to say, thank you so much for giving me the proper nutrition and for the iron going into everywhere it needs in my body. I just said that, and I did it with that, like, that excitement of like, okay, let's see if this works. And I kid you not, I think it was 2 months later, I went and got another blood test because my headaches did start going away. I wasn't dizzy all the time. And my anemia was back to normal. And the doctor was like, what did you do? And I literally, I was like, I talk to my food and like I set the intention that my body has the ability to absorb the nutrients. Like something wasn't absorbing it before. And she literally looked at me and just didn't, she was speechless. And I was like, didn't know how to handle it. And so what I think that experience taught me is that just because something isn't like kind of told to you by the authority, so like by a doctor, doesn't mean it's not possible. Does that mean they're wrong? Absolutely not. Like they have their expertise, but that doesn't mean that's the only way. Cause she told me take iron pills. And I was like, well, let me just try because I suck at taking vitamins. And I mean, now I'm great at it, but as a 16-year-old, 17-year-old, I wasn't good at taking vitamins. So I was trying to find a better solution for myself. And so what I really think like the biggest thing with your health is, and the biggest thing is to remember that like every single cell in your body is energy. It carries a vibration. It's with you and listening to you all the time. So the way you talk to your body, like I think a lot of us have a really strong relationship with our body image, right? Like some of us, I'm sure most of us at one point have struggled with body image. So imagine like thinking of your body's cells and your body as its own kind of its own human, right? Think of it as another person. If your body was listening to the way you were talking to it, how do you think it would feel? Probably pretty crappy, right? If every time I look in the mirror, I'm like, oh, I don't look good enough, or I don't feel good, or this is wrong, or that's wrong. Imagine what your body is thinking. Your body's probably sad, not feeling good. And it's probably like, okay, it's not going to work with you with those desires. But if you can switch that language to, I'm really grateful my body's still here. I'm grateful I'm still breathing. And just shifting the way you talk to your body will automatically start to shift. And I've noticed that I would do games with like, I mean, eating bread, right? Like a lot of people think eating bread or carbs isn't good for you. So I was like, okay, I'm going to do an experiment. It feels good to me. Let me see if I can quote unquote lose weight or maintain my weight if I eat as much bread as I want. No, whatever feels good to me. And I did. And I was like, it's so crazy to see the way your body can respond to just the way you're going into something. Like if I'm eating something indulgent, if I'm eating it with like, I'm so excited to eat this and I'm so grateful I get to eat it. But some people right before they take a bite of something indulgent, they're like, oh, I'm cheating. This is not good, but I'm allowed to cheat today. So those are going to have different effects. Like the thoughts you're thinking before you eat something is going to affect the way your body takes it in, you know? And so that's what I mean with the whole physical aspect. There's so many layers to it.
This really brings to mind my kind of spiritual shift when I went vegan, because it was something I really didn't expect. I went vegan for health reasons because my dad is a colon cancer survivor, and without getting into the whole story, but I noticed as I was eating more and more vegan food that I felt like I was becoming spiritually more grounded to animals and nature. And then I was even just talking to my fiance the other day, how I feel that when we're eating meat and we're eating these animal products, we're almost ingesting the negative energy that the animals experience in their kind of confined and really sad lives. Does that make sense?
Oh, 100%. And I like, and I mean, I hope I don't get like, I don't offend anybody for this, but I grew up as a vegetarian just by like our culture, right? Like in Indian culture, a lot of people are vegetarian, but we like honor cow. So we eat a lot of dairy, right? Like it's almost sacred for us. So I didn't realize like that dichotomy until I went to India and I was like petting all the cute little baby cows. And I was like, how can I eat something that comes from you? Like I had that same like thought process. I was like, if you're unhappy and I'm ingesting that, like that's going to come into my body. And it's so true because all those animals, whatever thoughts they're thinking, and if they're in like not a happy environment when like they're becoming meat, then that's the energy that's going to go into you, right? But like there is a difference. I mean, to be super straight up, like my husband is a meat eater. Like he eats way less now that we're together, but I will never tell him to not eat meat. Like that's just a personal belief system. And so his family eats meat like heavily, and they are like, whoa, like when I don't eat meat, I do feel a little better. And like I feel a difference and I can't put my finger on it. And I think it's exactly what you're saying. Like you're not ingesting that animal's like whatever sadness they're going through or fear, or like, I don't know, people are separate, like cows and their moms or calves and their moms, they're separated. So like that separation makes a difference. And so, yeah, energy is a crazy thing and it really makes a difference. So yeah, I totally get that.
I even thought about, I think we've all heard that story of how talking to your plants and giving your plants positive affirmation can help them grow. I'll try to link a study in the show notes, but I think there's actual research done on plants in this sense.
No, 100%. And actually, okay, so I love plants, but I don't have too many, but I was kind of neglecting them. And literally this, I was doing this morning before our call, and one of them is like kind of struggling. And so I was like, oh my God, I haven't told her I loved it yet. So I was like sitting with it. I was like, I love you. Like, I hope you grow. And my husband looks at me and he just busts out laughing. And I was like, you watch, like this plant is going to perk up tomorrow or within the next few days, just watch it. And it literally every time it works. And he's always like, I don't understand. Like, that is insane to me. And similarly, like the study on plants, there's a really, really cool study on water. Have you heard of that study? Okay. It is so cool. I'm going to look up the name so I don't butcher him. But I think he's a Japanese man and a Japanese scientist actually. And he studied water crystals and he basically would separate water. And to one water, like he did multiple different experiments. So he would say like, I love you to one thing of water. And then he would say, I hate you and like cuss at the water. And literally when he looked at the crystals under the microscopes, the water crystal that had like, I love you, it was like a beautiful, like it looked like a snowflake. And the other one was like super jaggedy or just like deformed. And he has like entire books on it. And it is so interesting. And honestly, I kind of think it's really cool because like as humans and like our earth, it's like 75% water. So like even a lot of people do this. I do it actually. Like when you're drinking water, say like, hey, I'm infusing you with love, or I'm wishing that like you nourish me or something, like infusing an intention into it will go into your body. And it's so cool because like we're 75% water and he has really cool studies. I'm going to look it up and tell you the name, but it is such a cool thing. He has a whole book and there's pictures of the crystals and you can see the difference. Like he would do one with like a certain type of music and one with like monks chanting and like just show the difference of different energies. It's really cool. It's really
I'll link it in the show notes for anyone listening. We'll find out the name after the show. That's no problem.
Yeah.
That is crazy. This is such an interesting topic. Okay. My one concern, I have like high functioning anxiety. I think to myself every time my fiance leaves for work in the morning, oh, I hope he doesn't get in a car accident. Like I'm that type of person. Worry, 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 worry. Always think the worst is going to happen. How do I not self-sabotage myself into manifesting these horrible things from happening in my life?
Oh my God. I'm right there with you. So Tom, when we met, he was in the military and I was like, hey, if you're going to go on a deployment, I need full commitment. And so that was my biggest fear. Like anytime he would leave the house for work base, like we lived right by a base, it was like 10 minutes away. I would always fear him not coming back in the US, right? Like I was like, you're not even gone. And I'm feeling this way. Like, what am I going to do during deployment? And so what I really started to do, because it wasn't bothering him. Like he was like, I understand. Like he was fine, but it's like, yeah, we're self-sabotaging ourselves. And so what I would try and do genuinely, it took me, I would say, a year and a half to start to get over this thing. But I would first start by just acknowledging. So when I noticed I started to get into that overthinking pattern, I would just say, okay, I see this thought pattern. I'm going to try and stop. Like, I'm going to just try and direct my attention elsewhere, because it's really easy to say like, oh, just think a positive thought. But that doesn't always work in these high, like, I don't know, heart thumping situations that really trigger us. So what I would recommend is first to just acknowledge and say, okay, don't judge yourself. Don't like fear, oh my God, is this going to manifest poorly? Just say, okay, I'm going to try and just shift my attention. So like turn on the TV, like literally distract yourself is the easiest way to put it, is focus your attention elsewhere. And you'll start to notice that like you'll build a habit that you kind of like habitually distract yourself or like move your attention, that it starts to become like, okay, the moment that thought comes up, you're like, oh, I know I need to go do something else. So it stops affecting you. Level one. Level two is once you kind of start to feel comfortable, notice that thought and say, okay, I'm just going to say the opposite now. Literally just say the opposite. Okay. So if you're like, hey, I hope he doesn't get in a car accident, you're going to say he comes home safely, all is well. Just things like that to start to get your brain to remember that, hey, I don't have to do this all the time. I don't need to worry. I don't need to protect him because it's not helping. Because not in a scary way, but certain things like the things that we fear the most, they almost manifest quicker because our fear, like the emotion and the energy of our fear is so much stronger than the emotion and the energy of that it's not going to happen. So energy goes where your attention is more potent, right? Where your energy is like, or where your thoughts are like more, more powerful, really. So like, that's why a lot of people in manifestation say focus on gratitude. Because if you can focus on gratitude, you're not, that's one more thought, you're not focusing in worry or there's not enough. And so that's why like managing where your emotions go is really powerful. However, there's a really fine line between toxic positivity. And I love talking about this because a lot of people think positive affirmations, are you just telling me to say nice things to myself all the time? No, my philosophy is you are a human. You're made to feel your feelings. So feel your feelings, but without shame. So feel through that worry, like walk yourself through, how is this worry serving me? How is this helping me? And just get, have that conversation, that super basic conversation with yourself to bring to the light. Like, this genuinely isn't helping me. Can I try something different? Rather than trying to pretend like it's not there or avoiding it, leaning into emotions, I think, is one of the most powerful things you can do for manifestation. Because I think there's a really big myth or like misconception that manifestation, you have to think positively all the time. Not the case at all, in my opinion. I don't think that's human. I don't think that's the point. I think your point is to feel just kind of a neutral energy, whether that's super happy or super sad, feeling neutral and feeling like, you know what? I can do this. Like that sort of like kind of sense of like peace of like, yes, I can get through anything that comes my way. Not everything's going to be rainbows and butterflies and I have no problems. I think that's what people think manifestation kind of comes out to, which I get. I mean, some of the stuff I post, I'm like, I need to put something real on here because sometimes you forget to share that part. And so I think when you are going through something majorly that causes you a lot of anxiety, don't run away from the anxiety. I know it's really hard to say. I know it's really hard to do. I mean, I've dealt with anxiety since I grew up, but breathe through it, focus on your breath and try to shift your attention and give yourself the space to feel. Because anxiety, I like to think of it, is another energy. It just wants to feel loved. That's how what helped me really heal my anxiety is like, you know what? This is an emotion that just wants to feel noticed. So can I just notice it for a second and say, hey, I love you, but you don't need to be here. Like you're not helping me right now. So you can leave. And literally talking to your anxiety and letting it melt away, because we avoid it so much that it just heightens and spirals upwards, you know?
A lot of what you're talking about reminds me of some of the techniques used in meditation. And I'm wondering if you consider this a complementary tool to potentially manifesting in a more intentional way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think to me, like, I think everything is a tool. I think affirmations are a tool. I think meditation is a tool. I think crystals are a tool if you're into it. I think everything is a tool. And the main like beacon of manifestation is you. So I think a lot of people mistake that they need to do all of these things and get all these crystals and singing bowls. Like those are fun. I mean, I have them all. Like I love them, but they make me happy. But I think a lot of people do it more from the physical perspective of I need to buy it because that's going to help me manifest. However, if I'm being real with you, you don't need anything to manifest. You just need yourself and that belief in yourself that you can. That's what you need. All of these tools are here to help you, but don't go under the pressure that if you don't have a super fancy crystal, you're not going to manifest, because that's not true. It's just within you. And I think that's what a lot of meditation really teaches. It's the power within, right? Like it's tuning in. That's what meditation is all about, self-awareness. And I really like that approach of taking a more self-aware approach to manifestation rather than I need all of the fun knickknacks that come with it, you know?
In a post the other day, I think it was you who was talking about how when you're first getting started, you might have a little bit of distrust that this is a real powerful thing. And you talked about playing a game where you could like do signs from the universe, like say, I want to see a sign from the universe. Can you explain how this would work practically in a day?
Yeah, absolutely. So like, okay, essentially the game, it's like, okay, you set an intention. So you literally just say out loud, universe, in 48 hours, can you just show me a sign or show me a super obvious sign that you're with me, that you're supporting me? That's it. Let it go. You forget about it. You don't search for the sign and you just let it go, because the biggest thing I think people mess up in manifestation is they're holding on so tight to it. They're like, where the heck is my manifestation? I don't see it. So that searching and that like clinging to it is actually getting in your own way. So that's why I say let go of it. And the reason this works, it's truly just the way your mind works. Your mind, if you set the intention to find a pattern, you will find a pattern that works for you. So it's leveraging that power of your mind. It's leveraging the power. I mean, I do believe it's like some sort of higher force. I call it the universe. Some people call it energy, God, whatever you believe in. But to me, it's showing me like, okay, I have some of this inside of me. So how can I let it show up? So when that sign pops in and it's like, you see angel numbers or you see like a perfect Instagram post that describes exactly what you're going through, it's because you're open to receiving that. That's genuinely how I like to remind it, is like, you're open to receiving it. And so your brain is ready to see it. Like there is a lot of really cool studies where it's like, it's almost like we can only see what we're ready to see and we can't see what we don't want to see. And so like, if you set that intention of I'm ready to see a sign, you will 99% see a sign because you're ready to see it. However, if you don't play the game or you're like, I'm not going to see a sign, whatever, most likely you won't see it because you don't want to see it, you know? And so it's kind of like that desire to feel it and that desire to experience it with the element of trust, right? That trust is the biggest part of like letting go. And no matter what you're going through, like, I'll be fine. Trusting that part, I think, is the hardest part about it.
Do you think this does or can tie into religion?
I think it can, but I personally, like, I grew up raised like in a Hindu household, but the way my parents taught me religion, it really felt more of like a culture to me. And I don't know if other people feel the same who are born in different religions or raised in different religions, but I think religion, if I think about religion, like, what is religion? Religion is just a set of beliefs maybe in someone or something. And so, yeah, I think if you want to think of it as a religion, you can, but I think that's a lot of people I think get really triggered by the word religion because it's so personal to them. And I think it's really how you interpret it. I think people who are a little more comfortable and more open-minded will be down to say, yeah, this can be like a form of religion. But I think some people who don't feel comfortable with it might say, this isn't a religion. This is just a thought process. But I mean, in my opinion, what is religion? For me, religion was always just a way of thoughts, right? Like the concept of karma, that's a Hindu thought, but it's not like only I can experience it. Like, so to me, it's just an idea and you get to choose to subscribe to it or you don't. And that's, it comes back down to your belief systems. Like I can subscribe to the belief that I have anemia, or I subscribe to the belief that I can heal my anemia. So I like to think of your beliefs as like subscription services that you can choose whether you want to buy into it or you don't. And I think to me, that's how I view religion. It's like, it's a set of ideas that really resonates with you or it might not.
I love that. And how does manifestation kind of team up with hard work? So for example, you're an entrepreneur. I know firsthand that it takes a heck of a lot of late nights, hard work to bring these kind of concepts like an app into fruition. For you, do you think you can manifest things without doing the hard work? You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. So what I like to explain to people is there's these different concepts of like 3D, 4D, 5D world. So we're living in a very physical 3D world. If we want to see those 3D physical results, like if I want to be able to touch one of my results, I need to be able to do something in the 3D. I need to be able to do something tangible. I need to be able to do something physical. Now, for me, the fine line of like overworking, working too hard, and inspired action is very different. So as an entrepreneur, I mean, Tom gets so annoyed with me because I'll have like a random creative spurt and I'm like, hey, I gotta go. Like I finally have something. So let me just go work on it. So to me, that is I'm allowing manifestation to work by letting my intuition come in, but it's not like I'm not doing anything. I mean, I think I work all the time. However, I love it. So it doesn't feel like work, but I think a really huge misconception is manifestation just falls into your lap. Certain things, I've absolutely experienced it, but like day to day, I like to think of manifestation as a lifestyle, and life includes action. Life includes doing stuff. So whether you're doing something on the physical plane and you're like, hey, I'm going to just walk a different path home, maybe that walk is what helps you manifest something that you've been trying to experience, an idea, a thought process. So I think there's so many little things we can do that can help you manifest in your physical world that I think physical action is so important. I do think there's a fine line of overworking. I think that's a different concept, but I don't think that has anything to do with manifestation per se. I think that's just a personal problem. Like, I have a personal problem where I can work all the time because it's so exciting. There's so many things to do, but does that mean I'm not manifesting or I'm manifesting too hard? No, I think those are two separate but intertwined things where you must take a physical action to see a physical result.
So we know now a good way to start manifesting is to maybe look for a sign for the universe, put that out into the world. We know that we should start looking at our thoughts and trying to make them more positive than negative, speaking them into existence. Is there anything else that if someone has never attempted to manifest before that they should do to kind of start?
I would say a really fun way to start is to just think about, like, what is it that I'm trying to manifest and why? Is it you want to feel something? Why do you want to manifest what you want to manifest? And most of the time it's because, oh, I think it'll make me happy, or I think I'll feel a certain way. Like, if I think about it, why do I want to manifest anything? It's because it's like, why not? I think it'll make me feel good. And so why can't I continue to feel better? So if you can identify what feeling you're going after, you can start to embody that feeling now. Can you feel happy with what you have? Even if what you want to manifest hasn't come into fruition, can you feel that now? If you can start to feel what you think can only be as a result of your manifestation, then you will, one, get that manifestation faster. And two, I think it'll really teach you a cool lesson and a reminder that you can choose your feelings no matter what's in your physical world. You have the power to choose at peace or grateful, even if you don't have something that you really want. There's still other stuff to be grateful. So to me, that's one of the biggest key points is like, why a lot of people are like, how do I manifest my soulmate? I'm like, well, why do you want your soulmate? Do you want to feel more loved? Okay, then how can you feel more loved within yourself? How can you show yourself more love? So kind of walking yourself through that. And a lot of people are like, well, I want to feel healthier. Okay, why do you want to feel healthier? Your body will feel better. So what can you do today that will help you feel better about that? So it takes like self-awareness, self-questioning. And I think that's a perfect way to start because it's a really practical approach. And it reminds the person that, hey, I can do this and I can start today. You know, I don't have to wait till that future moment to feel good.
Do you think people manifest stuff without knowing that's what they're doing? Like, for example, I feel like I manifested my career as a food blogger. However, I never would have really even known what the word manifestation meant.
Absolutely. And that kind of comes back to one of the first things we talked about, where I think everyone is truly manifesting, even if it's not on purpose. Like, manifesting is just something you're experiencing in your life. So everything we've experienced is a manifestation. And I know that can feel triggering because we've all dealt with trauma too. And so people are like, well, why did I manifest something horrible in my life? Why did I manifest this really abusive relationship? Or why did I manifest like a really hard disease to deal with? And that comes down to your emotions, something you're holding in, thought patterns that aren't serving you. So it's also intertwined that even if you're not trying to manifest, in my firm opinion, we are. And sometimes I kind of like forget and I'm like, oh shoot, like I just manifested that and I totally didn't want it and I just forgot, or I totally wanted this and I didn't even try. So it's really crazy. Like, I think manifestation, to me, my thought is, yeah, it's something we're always doing. You get to choose whether it's on purpose or not, you know?
What's your opinion on using the power of maybe group manifestation? So say there's a group of people or a couple or something that really want something together. Do you think that's a more powerful technique of manifestation than trying to bring these things to life on your own?
Interesting. So I do think energies can collaborate for sure. Firmly believe that. I think energies talk. Like, my energy and your energy is working its magic right now, you know? So I think that's a real thing. But in terms of like manifesting a physical thing, I think that's where, I mean, I also believe sometimes people subconsciously might not want someone to have a manifestation because they think it's taking away from their ability to manifest. For example, success. A lot of people get a little jealous or triggered when they see somebody else's success because they're like, oh, does that mean I can't have it now? Because we have a very, in our society, we have a belief system that like there's a finite amount so that if someone gets it, it takes their piece of the pie. It's like taking away different pieces of a pie and that soon there'll be none left. So I think that thought process can be super harmful. So if you're trying to use like collaborative energy to manifest something, I would say just be smart and make sure these people like really are with you. And like, I think energies can make that difference, but I think it's hard to find people who 100% want that best for you. So like me and Tom, I think we can manifest together. Great. But outside of that, I don't know how many people can do that. Maybe my mom, maybe my dad, but I don't know. Like, so I think that's kind of where it's really interesting to see, like it comes down to subconscious beliefs of those people. They might not intentionally wish that, but it might be a subconscious belief where they don't think they can get it. So they don't think you can get it. So it kind of is really interesting how they all intertwine.
And what about kind of the other side of that, of you wanting someone to fail because you feel like they're taking your piece of the pie? Do you think you can manifest something bad happening to someone, unfortunately?
In my opinion, I don't think so. Because truly, as a little girl, I have wished some really poor things upon people. And when I got bullied, I was like, well, I hope you hurt yourself. Like, I was really upset, you know? And honestly, it was such a good lesson for me because whenever I wish that poorly upon someone, it would happen to myself. And that, I think, is your biggest reminder, is you can wish poorly for someone, but when you wish for someone else, we're all energy, we're all connected. You're also wishing upon yourself, and most likely you'll experience it before them. I don't think you can manifest. I mean, I've heard crazy stories, but I don't think it's easy to manifest poorly for people because it happens to you first. So your energy can't even get to them, you know, like it almost always has an inverse effect on you versus that other person. And I think that's, to me, that's kind of the universe trying to teach you, like, don't do this. Like, this is going to suck for you. I just recommend being nicer to other people, you know? So to me, that's my interpretation. Some people have a different interpretation on this topic, but I really think that like it normally happens to you first. And then it just, that energy of wishing so poorly upon them fizzles away that nothing happens.
Before we wrap up here, I'd love for you to tell our audience about your app.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. So our app, it's called Affirm It. And I created it honestly out of my own need. Cause I was like, I wish there was an app that like felt accessible for our generation and was like pretty to look at and had cool functionalities. And so I created it and it's a subscription-based app. So it's less than $5 a month and you get tons of affirmations, guided meditations, visualizations, all the things and guides to, for you to start your own journey. I really wanted to create it so people didn't feel like they had to pay a lot of money for a really expensive manifestation coach. I wanted you to feel empowered and you using it for yourself. And I have noticed that a lot of people felt empowered and they manifested some really cool things using it because it's your own space for yourself. So if you do want to download it, it's called Affirm It. And I would love to see you on there, or you can always message me if you have any questions beforehand.
I love that so much. You have provided such gold advice and information on today's podcast. And I just want to say thank you, Pyle. It was such a pleasure having you on the Plant Pod today.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. And thank you all for listening. If you made it to the end, I'm so grateful. And thank you for your time and energy.